Today's daf is Yuma Daf Samach Zayin, and we are at the Mishnah, two lines from the bottom of Daf Samach Vav Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sara Aliza, of Vadya Ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba Ben Devorah, Devorah Bas Mecha, Shmuel Ben Tehila, Eliyahu Zev Ben Brindel, Mordechai Tzvi Ben Fradel, Sara Bas Pasio, Rafal Yaakov Ben Rachel Chava, David ben Shoshana, Aryeh Eliezer ben Malka, and Avram Menachem ben Leah Edel. Today's daf is being learned as a schus v'yecheskel shragi ben Miral, and today's daf is being learned le'ilui nishmas Avram ben Yibodah l'chaim toivim re'moysha chaim. So we're continuing to discuss the avoida of Yom Kippur, specifically the so'er ha-mishtaleach. So despite the fact that the ikur kapara of the avoida on Yom Kippur was the Sar HaMishtaleach, there are actually very few psukim that describe what was done with the Sar. The Pasuk says in Parshas Achrimois, Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, V'somach Aharon Eshtei Yodav Al Rosh HaSar Aharon, as in the Kohen Gadol, should do smicha on the head of the Sar HaChai, meaning the Sar that's going to go Lazazel, V'hisvada Aleph. And when he does smicha, he should say vidoy on es kol avoynos bnei Yisrael ves kol pesheyem lechol chatoisam v'nosan oisam al rosh hasar. He should take the averos, put them on the head of the goat, v'shilach biad ish iti hamidbara, and then he should hand the goat over to a quote unquote ish iti and send it to the midbar. V'nosa hasar all of es kol avoynos of the sar is then going to carry all the averos of Klal Yisrael, el eretz gezeira, we'll see what that means, the shilach es hasar b'midbar, and the goat should be sent to the midbar. I'm skipping a few psukim. The hamishaleach es hasar l'azazel, this ish iti, who took the sar and sent it to Azazel, yichabes begodav, he should wash his clothing, the rochatz es psarei b'mayim, and then he himself has to bathe because he's tomei, v'achrechen yovoy al ha-machane, and it's only after he does that he's allowed to return to the machane. So these three psukim are the psukim that describe the avodah that was done with the sar ha-mishtaleach. Number one, the kohen gadol did smicha on the Sar HaMishtaleach. Number two, he was misvada, and this vidui was an all-inclusive vidui. It was vidui for all the averos, with the exception of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadosh, for all of Klal Yisrael. Yesterday we mentioned the chiddush of the Hafla, that maybe the Kohen Gadol himself was not included in the vidui of the Sar HaMishtaleach. He then handed over the Sar HaMishtaleach to somebody else. This person was an ish iti, we saw in yesterday's daf, ish l'rabbis azar. He didn't have to be a kohen. However, there was a minig that it was a kohen. He would take it to the midbar, el eretz gezeira, la'azazel, a lot of ambiguous terms that, as we'll see in today's daf, Chazal worked on trying to properly define. The point of bringing it to the midbar is also a little bit unclear, because the Torah doesn't really say what was supposed to happen, but it does say that the ish iti, who sent the sar la'azazel, became tamei, his clothing became tamei, and as a result, yichabes begadav, v'rochatz es besarei b'mayim, and only afterwards was he allowed to return to the machane. So today's daf is going to continue to discuss the sar ha-mishtaleach, and today's daf, in the course of its discussion of the sar ha-mishtaleach, is going to explain some of the words in these psukim that we just mentioned. So the Mishnah, mi'akire Yerushalayim, the chashuvim, the shiny yidin of Yerushalayim, they would baglait, they would escort, they would be malavid the ish iti until the first sukkah. So what is the first sukkah? Says the Mishnah, Eser sukkos mi Yerushalayim va'atzuk. There were 10 sukkahs from Yerushalayim until tzuk. Tzuk is the Mishnah's way of saying Azazel. So the word tzuk and the word Azazel for our purposes are completely synonymous. So there were 10 sukkahs from Yerushalayim until the mountain. Tishim ris, the distance was 90 ris, shiva umechza l'chol mil. And the formula of how you would convert ris into mil, which was a more popular metric that was used, is 7.5 ris to every mil, which means if there were 90 ris, 90 divided by 7.5 is 12, there were 12 mil. So the distance between Yerushalayim until Azazel was 12 mil, and there were 10 sukkos in between those 10 mil. The Gemara is going to elaborate this on a little bit. Al kol sukkah v'sukkah in Ramloi, every sukkah there were people there. And they would tell him, Arei mazin v'arei mayim, do you want a little bit to eat? Do you want a little bit to drink? Now this is Yom Kippur. But at the same time, they're offering him food. And the people that were stationed at sukkah number one would be malavim to sukkah number two. And the people from sukkah two would be malavim to sukkah number three. Chutz mi achrin shavahem she'inim agir imay l'tzok. With the exception of the last leg of this journey, so once the ishiti got to sukkah number 10, nobody was malavim from there until the tzok. We'll see in the Gemara why. Elo imin meirachay. However, the people that were at sukkah number 10, they would stand from a distance for Raya Ismaisav, and they would watch what the Ish-Iti was doing. So there was no prohibition against watching what the Ish-Iti was doing, but at the same time, nobody actually was malavim. Mahoyo Isa. Okay, so we just mentioned what the Ish-Iti did. What did he do? And again, from the psukim itself, it's very unclear. So the Mishnah explains, Chaylik Lashon Shal Zahiris. The first thing he did was, he took the Lashon Shal Zahiris. So earlier in the Masechta, we saw that as soon as the Geirul was done, there was a Lashon Shal Zahiris, a red thread that was tied to the horns of the Sar Mishtalech and to the Tzavar of the Sar Lashem. So the Kohen Gadol, or the Ishiti, removed this Lashon Shal Zahiris and he cut it into two parts. Chetzi Kasha B'Zela, half of it he tied to a rack, V'chetzi Kasha B'en Shtei Karnav, and the other two, he retied between the horns of the Sar Mishtalech. V'dachvay la'achayrav. And here's the punchline. He took the Sar and he threw it down the mountain. But tzirik tzivigs. V'hu miskalgel v'yoyret. And he would roll down the mountain. V'lehe magil l'chatzi yahar, says the Mishnah. By the time the Sar Mishtalech got to the midway point of the mountain, achenase varam evarim. It was already broken up into evarim evarim. Bav yoshu le'tachas sukkah achrayim. After the Ish'iti did this, he went back to the 10th sukkah, to the last sukkah that he had been at. And he remained at Achatechshach until Matzah Yom Kippur. Says the Mishnah that the Pasuk says, the last Pasuk that describes the Ish'iti's work, V'hamishalech es hasar la'azazel, yichabes begadav, meaning his clothing become tamid, therefore he has to wash his clothing, V'rachet es psar b'mayim, and he himself becomes tamid. So says the Mishnah from a technical perspective, what point in the avoida of the Ish'iti did all this happen? Did the tumah descend upon him? So the Mishnah says, "Mishiyetze chutz tochem es Yerushalayim." From the time that he leaves the walls of Yerushalayim, that's when the tumah happens. Reb Shimon argued. He said, "Mishas tchiyase lotzach." No, it's at the time that the animal actually was thrown down the cliff. That's when this all happened. Regardless, a loaded Mishnah, and as a result, a lot of short Gemaras that are going to explain this Mishnah. So the first part of the Mishnah that the Gemara is going to discuss is the Mishnah said that there were 10 sukkahs from Yerushalayim until Tzuk. The distance was 90 ris. There's 7.5 mil to every ris, which means the distance when converted into milin were 12 milin. So it's 10 sukkahs and 12 milin. And the purpose of these sukkahs were, there were people stationed with food and with water, and they were offering the Ish'iti encouragement, they were offering him food, and they were even malavihim misukkah l'sukkah, with the exception of the last leg, nobody went with him until the tzuk. Okay, Gemara. Even though the Mishnah says 10 sukkahs and 12 milin, this is only one of four opinions, as we're going to see now in a braisa, of how this all played out. Tana Rabbanan, Esa sukkahs, Vishnei Masa milin, Hayu Divi Rameh. Rameh says there were 10 sukkahs and 12 milin, which is our Mishnah. Sta Mishnah is Rameyer, so it's Ma'od Matim that the Mishnah is consistent with Shitas Rameyer in this price. Rabbi Yehuda says Tesha Sukkahs. There were really only 9 Sukkahs, Va'asara Milin, and there were 10 Milin. Now, just to understand this price a little bit better, because it's important in terms of the way the Gemara is going to wrap the Sugya up together, and that is, according to Rameyer, if there were 10 Sukkahs and there were 12 milin, that would mean that if you want to figure out how many legs there were to this trip, assuming there's a stop at every sukkah, there were really 11 legs. 10 sukkahs would mean 11 legs. The reason is because the first leg is to get to the sukkah rishayna. Between the 10 sukkahs, there are going to be 9 legs, from 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4, if you do the math, there's going to be 9. And then from the last sukkah until tzuk, there's going to be another leg. So really, the 10 sukkahs made up 11 legs. Now, the 11 legs to the trip comprise the distance of 12 milin, which then would mean that, in theory, 11 of them can be a mil, if you want to keep it within a mil, but there's one that's going to have to be more than a mil. If 11 are a mil, one would be 2 milin, and that's how you would end up with 11 legs to 12 milin. Now, why would you want to keep it within a mil? Very simple, because it's Yom Kippur. And in Yom Kippur, there's a mitzvah of resting, just like there is on Shabbos, just like there is on Yontif. There's an Isser, the Eraisa, maybe the Rabbanon, that a person's not allowed to go outside the Tchum. A Tchum Shabbos is Alpayim Mamo, which is really 1 mil. The idea was for the people to be Malava, the Ishiti. Now, the Ishiti is allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, because he's doing the Avodah. We saw in yesterday's daf, Iti Vafilu B'Shabbos. But what about the people that are being Malava him? There's no reason for them to be Mechal Shabbos. So we're incentivized to try to keep these trips within a mil, simply, so like this, nobody has to violate the Issur Tchum. It makes a lot of sense. In light of Masechtas Erevin, it would certainly make sense that the distance from Sukkah to Sukkah, or from the starting point until the first Sukkah, should be within a mil. If you have 11 trips and 12 milin, you can get 11 of the trips to be within the parameters of the laws of Truman, but one of them is going to have to be more. And according to Rameyer, that was in fact the case. What was the breakdown? The first 11 were a mil. The last one was 2 milin. That's why the Mishnah says, speaking out what the Gemara is going to say later, that's why the Mishnah says that nobody was melava, the ish'iti, from the last sukkah until tzuk. Pasha, you learn, it's a bechin of chol adam lo yiyah ba'ayu mayit. Nobody's allowed to go with him. Yo'aymid me'rachayk, the mysticism associated with everything going on right now. Aber in the Gemara, we're going to see it was more practical. It was pasha. You just couldn't go there because it's outside the tchum. So according to Rameyer, it's 10 sukkahs, 12 milin, which also means 11 legs to this journey. 12 milin. If it's 11 to 12, 11 of them could be within a mil, so they could be malava this ishiti all the way. One of them is going to be more than a mil. You can't go all the way, unless you make an Erev Tchumen, but Rameyer holds, there was no Erev Tchumen. As a result, you can't go past that, and if you can't go past that, so inevitably, there's going to be one leg where they won't be able to be malavim all the way, which is exactly what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said, chutz mi achren shebehem she'in magiyah imay letzuk, and the reason has nothing to do with Kabbalah. It has nothing to do with all the sara mishtaleach created. Pasha, because it's outside of the Tchum, and it's Yom Kippur. And as a result, you can't go there. That's the first sheet that Rabbi Yehuda said it was Teisha Sukkos, Vasara Milin. There weren't 10 Sukkos, there were only 9 Sukkos. And the distance wasn't 12 Milin, it was only 10 Milin. Now, if there were 9 Sukkos, how many legs are there going to be to the trip? It's going to be 10. There's going to be the first leg going from the starting point until the Sukkah Rishayna. Between the 9 Sukkos, there's going to be 8 legs. And then, from the last sukkah up until tzuk, there's going to be another leg. So it's 10 steps plus 10 milin, which means there's 1 mil for each leg, which means all the legs of this trip are within the confines of Tchumen. So there's no reason that the people in the last sukkah should not have been able to be malavim until the end, because you're not running into any Tchumen problems, because it's very neat. You have each leg is a perfect mil, which coincides with the 10 milin that you have to travel. That's Rabbi Yehuda's sheet. Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi said, Chomesh sukkah, there are only 5 sukkahs, v'asara milin hayu, but there were 10 milin. Now that's a problem. Chomesh sukkahs and asara milin, so it sounds like nobody was really able to be malavim all the way. So Rabbi Yossi, it's not true. V'kulan ayidei erev, it was all done, ayidei erev, something called an erev tchumen. Erev tchumen allows a person to extend his tchum. So if you make an erev, what do you have? You have alpayim amo l'chol ruach, or 1 mil l'chol ruach, from wherever you made your erev tchumen. So as a result, what you could do is you can make an erev tchumen, which just based on visualizing the way erev tchumen works, is you'll now be able to double the distance that you're going to be able to travel. So it's very good. 5 sukkahs and 10 milin really would be a problem. But once you make an erev tchumen, so now you have alpayim amo l'chol ruach, you put the erev smack in the middle of the 2 milin that you're going to walk. So I have a mil this way, I have a mil that way. So you actually end up having 2 milin. That's what Erev Tchumen gets. That's the purpose of making an Erev Tchumen. And as a result, you can play it. Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi then said that after he stated his position of Chomish Sukkos Vasarim Milin, he said, Sochli Elazar b'nei, I'll tell you what my son Elazar said. Rabbi Yossi had 5 sons. And he said, my son Elazar told me the following. He said, Imal Yidei Erev, oh, you want to go down this road? You already want to make an Erev Tchumen, then there's no reason for you to even have to have had 5 sukkahs. If you can make an Erev Tchumen, you chol need lasses afilu shtei sukkahs vasara mil. It'd be possible to make this play out even with only 2 sukkahs and with 10 milin. And the way you're going to do this is the 2 sukkahs would be, one would be at the 4 mil marker, and the other one would be at the 8 mil marker. Now, the people at the front end that are going to be malavahim from the beginning up until the first sukkah would make an Erev Tchumen. The people at the sukkahs would also make an Erev Tchumen. Now, the people at the starting point are going to make an Erev Tchumen in the direction of the sukkah. And the place they're going to make the Erev Tchumen is going to be at the 1 mile marker. So basically what's going to happen is you have the starting point. They're going to be at the 2 spot. They're going to make the Erev at the 1 mile marker, which allows them to walk from there until the starting point. And then it allows them to get from their Erev until the 2 mil marker. The people at the 4 are going to make it at the 3. That allows them to go from the 3 to the 2, and then from the 3 back to the 4. The point is they can meet at the Sukkah Rishayna, and it's going to be fine. So the people that made the Erev at the 1 mil marker will be able to be Malava from the starting point up until 2. The people that made the Erev at the 3 mil marker will be able to pick this Ish Iti up at the 2 and walk him until the 4. And now you're just going to repeat it. You're going to do the same thing. You're going to make another Sukkah at the 8. Where again, you'll have someone at the 5, the other Erev will be at the 7, they'll be able to meet each other, and then from the 8, you'll be able to get until the end, because someone's going to make an Erev at the 9, which is going to allow this person now to walk from 8 to 9, and from 9 to 10. So if you map it out, it's actually very simple. So Rabbi Yossi said that my son Elazar told me that if you want to make an Erev Tchumen, then it's not even necessary to have all these different sukkahs, because just based on a little Erev in arithmetic, this is something you'd be able to do even without it. Zokti Gemara, Kamano, Zohar D'Tanya, we have a braisa that says, Chutz mi achrin shabahen, shaloi higia imoy letzok, elo oymen mirachi v'greiche es ma'isov. So we have a braisa, which is really our Mishnah, that says that even though there was this idea that we wanted people to escort the Ishniti until the Midbar, but this last leg of the trip, from the last sukkah until the Midbar, nobody was malavim. Kamano, who's that like? Zokti Gemara, it's Kiram Meir. It's like Ram Meir. Why? Let's go through the other sheetahs first. Rabbi Yehuda said that there were 9 sukkahs and 10 milah. 9 sukkahs means 10 legs to the trip. 10 legs, 10 milah means each leg is a mil. If it's a mil, there's no reason no one should be able to be malavim during that last mil. Again, we're saying there's no cheshbon natu other than from an Erevin perspective. There's no Erevin problem. According to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, certainly somebody would be able to be malavim all the way because we have no problem making Erev Tchumen. So once you make an Erev Tchumen, so whether it was 5 to 10 or 2 to 10, but with the Erev Tchumen, you certainly would be able to be malavim until the end. The only Tana with whom it couldn't work is with Rav Meir. Rav Meir said 10 sukkahs, 12 milin, which means 11 legs to the trip and 12 milin. No Erev Tchumen according to Rav Meir. So if there's no Erev Tchumen and one of the legs has to be 12, the last one was, one of the legs has to be 2, the last one was the one that was 2, and that's why you couldn't be malavim until the end. Zok the Gemara Vayta. Kol sukkah v'sukkah imalei harimazim v'harimayim. So every sukkah they would offer this ish iti food, even though it's in Kippur, but if he needed it, they would offer it. It never happened. Meaning, no ish iti ever broke his fast because of what he was doing. Ella, so why did they even offer it to him? Literally, they wanted him to have pas besali. He should have the opportunity to have a sandwich, to eat something if he needed it. So if it was something that he needed, it was available to him. Abba Lamaisa, as a historical fact, hashtag rest of the story, it never happened. Mahayo Isa. So now the Ishiti came to the Midbar. So what did he do? Chaylik Lashon Shal Zahiris. See, he took the right to food him. That was tied between the horns of the Sarah Mishtalech. He cut it into 2. Half of it he tied onto the rack. The other half he tied onto the horns of the Sarah Mishtalech. And then he threw it down the mountain. Faith the Gemara, Viniktari Kula Bisela. Why did he do it in this funny way? Why didn't he just tie the whole thing onto the rock? So the Gemara says like this, because keeping the mitzvah b'sar, being that there's a mitzvah to take the goat and to throw it down the mountain, there was a concern, Dilma Kotten, Umalp, maybe this red string would turn white before the Ish-Iti had the opportunity to throw the goat down the mountain. And if he sees it turns white, Umiyasvadaite, he's going to have a certain Yishavadas, and he's going to end up not throwing the goat down the mountain. So what is this all about? It's based on what the Gemara is going to say in a second, that the idea of the red string was symbolic of the Yidden's mitzvahs getting kapara. And the Yidden were actually able to see it, because red was a color of chet, and as the avoid on Yom Kippur was playing out, it would turn white, which was a sign that the Yidden got kapara. Now, as soon as the Ish Iti did what he had to do, with the string, assuming the Yidden were going to get kapara, it would turn white. So if what he was going to do was tie it to the rod, and the Yidden were going to get kapara, so it was going to turn white right away. If once it turns white, I'm done, let's go home, right? There's no reason to do this anymore. So there was a concern of Yasvadaiti, he's going to have a certain Yishvadas, and the Shiti is going to decide that he doesn't want to finish doing the Avodah. So we Dafka made it that he should put part of it on the mount, on the animal. When you put it on the animal, what's are you going to do with the animal? You're going to throw it down the cliff. So it's not going to turn white until you start throwing it down the cliff. Like this, it's going to end up being thrown down. So the Gemara says, okay, so if you need it thrown on the animal, so v'niktri kula ben karnav, so put the whole thing on the animal. What's this idea of cutting it half like this, half like that? It just seems like, why not so glatt? Just put it then all on the goat. So the Gemara says, zimnin de gomish le l'resh v'lavadayte. Because sometimes as the goat was falling down the cliff, it was very hard for the ish iti to see whether it actually turned white. So therefore, we wanted it to be a little bit on the goat because otherwise it may turn white before he takes the goat and pushes it down the mountain and then he's never going to push it down. And we want him to do it. At the same time, we don't want to put it all on the goat because he may lose that visual. He may not see it. And as a result, it's going to be a problem. So like this, he put it half this way, half that way. Everything is going to be okay. So more on this. Lashon Shel Zahiris. Baruch Shem in the beginning. In ancient times, they used to tie the Lashon Shel Zahiris to the door of the Ulan. Mibachot, from the outside, which was great. Everybody was able to see it. So everybody's sitting and they're staring and they're watching this red string and they're waiting for it to turn white. Hilbin, when it turned white, how you smeich and abulai hilbin, if it didn't turn white, how you had save, and everybody was ungesetzt. Umizbaishin, and they were embarrassed because that meant they didn't get kapara. Miskinu, Chazal made a takana. They didn't want people on Yom Kippur to be at saving. Umizbaishin. So the takana was you kushin al pesachulim, keep it by the pesachulim, but be befnit, from inside. It's like this. If you're standing in the Azor, you're not going to see it. But that time, you met seats and you were able to peek the Royan and still able to see. And again, Hilben Hoyas Mechel, Hilben Hoyat Seven. It's a skin that made another Takonashi Ukoshin Oisai. The way you should tie it is Chetzi of the Seller, half of it on a rock, the Chetzi Ben Karnov, and the other half between the horns of the Sar Mishlach. Amrab Nachamar Papa Mishumba Blaza Akapa, Barishoino, Hoyakoshin Washin Shazahirch, Alpesa, Cholam. He had a little bit of a different play of how it used to be and how it became. They used to do it al Pesach ulam mibefin. Kimish gias sar la midbar. Soon the sar came to the midbar hayomalbin. That's when it became white. The yodu and they knew shenasis mitzvasoi shenemar miuchato echem kashonim. This is the makar from a pasuk to this idea, because the pasuk doesn't say this, but this is the makar from a pasuk that seems to suggest to this idea, Yeshaya Paragalef of Chazon Yeshayo fame, in Yuchato Echim Kashonim. Kashela Yalbino, that if the Averis are going to be red, they're going to turn white. So that's this idea of the Lashon Shel Zahiris going from red to being white. Where did they tie it and how did it play out? And did it always turn white? So a little bit of that was just mentioned in the Gemara that we just learned. The Mishnah said that as the Sar was going down the mountain, by the time it came to Machtzis Ahar, with the Lashon of the Mishnah is Chatzi Ahar, it was already Eivarim Eivarim. It turned into a bunch of Eivarim. Iboilo, Oisin Eivarim, Mahim Bahana. Are you allowed to have Anar from these Eivarim? Or are you not allowed to have Anar from these Eivarim? So we spoke about this in the raid earlier in the week. Zakhti Gemara. Rabbi Shmuel's Machlik is Rabbi Shmuel. Chadam one said Mutar, one said it's Mutar. Chadam Asurim, the other one said it's Asim. Anar Mutar, the one that said it's Mutar. Dechsiv, the Makar is, because the Pasuk says, Veshilach es Hasair Bamidbar. So, Rashi says, V'kroyiseiru, reading from the top line of Rashi, the word Bamidbar is an extra word. It says Bamidbar a bunch of times in the Pasuk. So that specific mention of Bamidbar is extra. L'midrash chehefka k'midbar. That it should be hefka like the Midbar. So the Midbar is hefker, and that's the idea that the Evarim were hefker, which means anyone's allowed to have a mandam asurim. The mandam that says the asur, the chsiv, because the Pasuk says, el eretz gezeira. Rashi, gezeira, loshen choymer, the iser. Gzeir is just a negative word. So it's chaymer, it's iser, it's aser bahana. The word bamidbar, it's hefker. Everybody can have it. Kol dichvin yesei v'yechol. Gzeir is intense and serious. And the point is, either you darshan bamidbar, you darshan gzeir, one darshan it one way, the other one darshan it the other way. So anytime you have two amayram, one darshan's one way, the other darshan's the other way. So we have to figure out why this amayr didn't darshan like him, and why that amayr didn't darshan like him. Zokti gemar mandam asrun mandam that says osai bamidbar my avidlei. What does he do with the actual word bamidbar? He poilei lechid tanya. He learned, used it for the way the following tanya used it in the following brayse. Hamidbar, hamidbar, bamidbar. Three times it says Midbar Rabbis, and it's coming to teach us. Number one, Noi V'givoy. Number two, Shiloi. Number three, Beis Olamim. That the Sarah Mishtaleach wasn't only something that played out in the Midbar when the Yidden were in the Mishkan during those 40 years. But when the Yidden were in Noi V'givoy, Shiloi, which was also the Mishkan, and then finally in the Beis HaMikdash, the Sarah Mishtalech would play itself out. The Idach Hai Gzeru Mayavali, the Mando Amar, that Darshins by Midbar, to tell me that it's Mutaba No, I, it says Gzeru, Biboyle Lechid Tanya, Gzeru in Gzeru Elechatucha. Gzeru means a cliff, Rashi. It's Tzuk Chatuch Bezekifa. It's very tall, it's not so diagonal and slanty like a mountain usually is, but rather it's a very sharp cliff. The word gzeira is not describing the cliff, but it's describing what happens to the goat as it goes down the cliff. It's meskazer, it just breaks into a bunch of pieces. You know what the word gzeira teaches me? You would think maybe that this whole idea of the Sar Mishtalech is maise tohu. Talmud loymar, ani Hashem gizartiv, I'm the one that made this gzeira. You find the word gzeira sometimes in association with something that's hard to understand. I mean, that Sar Mishtaleach goes into the Chukas HaTorah, it goes into the things that are a little bit hard to understand. Since for that reason, we use the word gzeira. Amar Rav. Rav said, command, Nistabri command Amar Mutar. Even though it was Machlekes Rav and Shmuel, these were early Amayram, first generation Amayram. But years later, Rav would come and he would say, I don't know who said what. It's Machlekes Rav and Shmuel. Chadama, Chadama. But Rav said, it's Mistabri like the man Amar that said Mutar. Because like Amar Torah Shalach. Because otherwise, what happened? The goat goes down the mountain, it breaks up into a bunch of pieces. You have Eivarim lying on the ground, and these Eivarim are asa ba'ana. So what happens if somebody comes and he sees this Eivar and he benefits from it? So it's going to come out, he ended up having a takolo. So Rav said, it's not mistaber that the Torah would tell you to do something that would set you up for a takolo. So even though this is not a raya in the world of Lundis, and I'm not even darshin Yipsukim, said Rav, but in Svara, it's mistaber, said Rav, the Torah wouldn't say, do something that ultimately can lead to takolo. So it's Yosef Mistabra said Rava that it's going to be Mutabana. Tan Rabban, another Braisa, Azazel. So the Torah refers to this mountain as Azazel. She Az Vikasha. It's Miloshin Az, and the El, the Aleph Lamed, is Miloshin Kasha. Yachal be Yishuv. You would think it should be in the Yishuv, meaning you can find a mountain like this somewhere in Midtown, and that's going to be Tamalayim by Midbar. Now, it has to be Minayin Shabbatzok. How do you know that it has to be a cliff? Tamalayim Magzero, like we said earlier. Tanya, took another Bryce. It's all Me'inyan, Le'inyan, Ba'is, Inyan. Azazel is Kasha Shebahar. It's the strongest of all the mountains. Vechenu Oimer Ves Elei Ha'aretz Lakach. Elei Ha'aretz means the strong people of the Aretz, and that's the point that the word Azazel is Miloshin Elei Ha'aretz. You have an Aleph and a Lamed, even though it's Aleph Zion Lamed, but you have the Aleph and the Lamed, that's Miloshin Elei Ha'aretz. It has to be a strong mountain. Tanav Rabbi Shmuel, Azazel, another pshat in what Azazel means, Shemechaper Al Maisa Uza V'Azazel. It's a reference to the Maisa Uza V'Azazel. So Rashi tells us the rest of the story. Malachi Chavol, these were Malachim. She'yardu La'aretz B'mein Na'ama Achiz Tuval Kayim. They descended upon the land in the times of Na'ama, the sister of Tuval Kayim. These are some of the psukim in the Torah that are in the end of Parshas Bereishis, in the beginning of times. V'aleim Nemer, it's regarding them that the pasuk says V'yiru B'neo Lekim Es B'noisa Adam Ki Toivoy Seino, and it's regarding that act that the Tzor Lazazel was mechaper. So, Zok Rashi. So what does this mean, Pasha Pshat? It means it was mechaper for some Aveira that Malachim did, Mamish Bereshis Bara Lekim, back in the beginning of times. So Rashi says Koloimah. Whenever Rashi says Koloimah, it means he's bothered with something. So he's going to come to answer that question. No, it's not what it means. Alo Arayis Mechaper. It's just another way of saying Arayis. So Azazel, Maisa Uzav Azazel, is a way of saying Arayis. And the point is that Azazel was Mechaper and Arayis. Now, the Kashi was Mechaper and everything. So why would you think it's not Mechaper and Arayis? So that's great to talk about that. But Zoyse Meris, that Arayis is a very big deal. And we need to speak out that not only is it Mechaper for everything, but it's even Mechaper for Arayis. Tanu Rabbanan, another Braisa. It says in the Torah, as Mishpatai Tasu. So the entire pasuk is, as Mishpatai Tasu, this is also a pasuk in Parashas Achrimos. Not Perek Tezayin, not even Yud Zayin, like we spoke about earlier in the week. But this is Perek Yud Ches. So it's the beginning of the Parsha of Arayis, and it says, "Es mishpatai tasu, ves chukai sai tishmu." So the Torah talks about mitzvahs as being mishpatim, and the Torah talks about mitzvahs of being chukim. So what's the difference between the two? So es mishpatai tasu, dvarim, these are things shalmoli nichtavu, din hu sheichtavu. These are things that even had the Torah not mentioned, we would understand on our own. These are things we're supposed, they're intuitive. Ve'elu hein, avidus kechavim, gili arayis, shvichas damim, gezel, berchas Hashem. That's someone that's mevorech es Hashem. Balashin Sahinor, someone that's Mekalu as Hashem. So these are things that we understand. That's what a mishpat is. Eschu koisai tishmru, dvarim shahasot in meshavale. These are things that we really don't understand. And in fact, these are mitzvahs that it's hard to know what they mean, and therefore the satan gives the yidden a hard time about it. Ve'eloin achilas chazer, ulevisha shatnez, ve'chalitzas yavama, ve'tairas mitzoira, ve'soir amishtalech. Hashem, I tell you, Maisa Toyo, you're going to tell me the Maisa Toyo. Talmaloimar, it says, ani Hashem chakaktiv. That's why the Pasuk says that the chukim are also ani Hashem. I'm the one that decreed it. Ein lecha rishus laharabem, and you have no rishus to be mahar. It's fascinating that this braisa and everything we're learning right now, this week's parasha is parashas chukas. This is the parasha of zois chukas atoira. This is literally the first Rashi. Even the word eretz gzeira, the Targum teaches dog gzeira da raisa. That's what a chayk is. And maybe we'll talk about this in the coming days. Not for today. In Masai Matamah Begon, the end of the Mishnah said that the pasuk says that the sar, the ish iti who took the sar mishtalech out, so he himself became tamei, his begotten became tamei. And then the Mishnah brought two sheet is when exactly it happened. May Masai Matamah Begon, reading from the Mishnah. Said, as soon as he leaves the walls of Yerushalayim, that's when all the Toma happens. Rav Shimon said, when he throws it down the mountain, that's when it happens. Mitame begodim, the inashaleach is a mishalech mitame begodim. The mishalech himself, meaning the ishiti became tome. But the shaleach hamishalech, meaning the yidin, the akira Yerushalayim that were melava the ishiti, they didn't become tome. Yochel, you would think, as it relates to the tome, that the tome happened as soon as he left Azor, tamaloyme hamishalech. No, mishalech means he sent them out, not as soon as he leaves. Mishalech means Halchanov and Veg. Iam Shalech Yochalach Yegilotzuk. You would think, okay, maybe when he arrives at his destination. No, Talmud Loimar, Veham Shalech. Not that either. Okay, it's not. Mishayetze Chutzle Choymes Rishalayim. So it's somewhere in the middle. That's what Chazal understood. So what's that midpoint? So, Divir Rabbi Yehuda. Yehuda said it's when he leaves the walls of Rishalayim. Rabbi Yoitzi Yoimer. Azazel the kibes, he darshan, it says Azazel, and then immediately afterwards it says Vekibes Achegilotzuk. It means when he comes to Azazel. Azazel is Tzuk, it's the same thing. It's the mountain. When he comes to the mountain, that's when he became Tamir. Rav Shimon Oymer, V'amishaleach es asor le'azazel yichabes begodov, meaning V'amishaleach, which means when he throws it down the mountain, Zorka bevas roish, umetame begodov. After he throws it down the mountain, that's when it becomes Tamir. So in the Mishnah, we had two shitas. The first shita was the Tanakamo, as soon as he leaves Yerushalayim. The second shita was Rav Shimon, Mishas Tchiyosei Letzuk. In the Braisa, number one, we have three shitas, not two, and we have names. The Tanakam of the Mishnah, Chutz L'Chamiz Yerushalayim, in the Brayse is Rabbi Yehuda. There's a second Shita that wasn't even mentioned in the Mishnah, and that's Rabbi Yosi. As soon as he arrives to Tzuk, that's when the Tumah happened, and then Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah is mentioned again in the Brayse, and that is, as soon as the Sar Mishtalech was thrown down the mountain, that's when the Tumah happened, exile. So two Ha'aras, as it relates to today's daf. The first Ha'ara is, we're learning Perek Shnei Se'irei, the sixth Perek of Masechtas Yuma. We're coming towards the very end of the Avodah of Yom Kippur, and in many ways, we're at the climax of the Avodah. We're dealing with the Sar that was sent La'azazel, that was sent, not by the Kohen Gadol, but by an Ish Iti, and it was through that, that the Iker Kapara of Yom Kippur was attained. The Sar Lashem and the Par, that all the Azoyas, Lefnai v'lefnim, and on the Heichel, and all the complicated Kachim Sugis, they were Matama on Tumas Mikdash v'Kadashah. The Par was Matama on Tumas Mikdash v'Kadashah for the Kayanim, and the Sar Lashem was Matama was Mechaper for Tumas Mikdash v'Kadashah for the rest of Klal Yisrael. All the other Averis not called Tumas Mikdash v'Kadashah, that Kapara was attained through the Sar HaMishtalech. And the Sar HaMishtalech was a very unique type of Akrava, number one. It didn't have to be done by a Kayan. No, but two, it's Yom Kippur. It doesn't even have to be done by the Kohen Gadol. Everything on Yom Kippur had to be done by the Kohen Gadol. But most notably, it wasn't even done in the Beis HaMikdash. It was something that was done on a mountain. There was no Shechita. So the Gemara said, the Chiyasai Letzuk Zuhi Shechitasai. But that's in the world of Lamdas. There was definitely no traditional Shechita. And there was certainly no Kabbalah, no Hilacha, no Zrika, no Haktara. And as a result, just looking at the Sarah Mishtaleach high level, it begs the question of what exactly was the Sarah Mishtaleach. It's hard to really put in words and to try to understand exactly what it was. Now, we had mentioned many times throughout the sugyas that we've been learning that the Ramban in Parashas Achrimos brings from the Eben Ezra, Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, that the Sar HaMishtaleach wasn't a carbon. And that's why it didn't have to be done by the Kohen Gadol, and that's why there was no Shechit Kabbalah Elach HaZrika Naktara, and that's why it was done in the Midbar, because it wasn't a carbon. It's true, every carbon has a Zrika. Every carbon would have to be done in the Beis HaMikdash. But it wasn't a carbon. What was it? So said the Ramban, I'm going to be Megal to you, but the Eben Ezra didn't want to be Megal to you, because the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer was already Megalit anyways. He said it was a Hakrova La'azazel. Sar Echel went Lashem, that was Hakrova HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the second Sar was La'azazel. It wasn't Hakrova Lashem at all. Who is Azazel? It's a remez to Sarei Shalesav. Sarei Shalesav is the Mekatreg. He's the Samach Mem. He's the Satan. He's the one that gives the Yidden Tsaris. He's the one that stands in front of the Kisei HaKoven and tells the Kadosh Baruch, you should punish the Jews. Don't rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. It should be Tsaris Le'Eleinu and Klal Yisrael. He's the Samach Mem. And Yom Kippur, which is the day that the Yidden have to get Slicha Mechila, it's very important that we figure out a way, even if it's through the back door, to get the Samach Mem on our side. Because if he's Mekatrik today, it's not good. So if we can neutralize this force somehow on the Yom HaKadosh, that would be very much to our benefit. So the Torah said, do something that ordinarily would be considered paganism. Take an offering and be makriv it. Serve it up to Sarishal Esav. That's Avodah Zarah 101. It's not because it's being sanctioned by the Torah. This is something that you're actually allowed to do. There's a mitzvah to do. But the point is, what the Sar Lazazel wasn't a carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was something that was supposed to give Sarishal Esav a reach nichayah. And the reason it has such a potent kayach in terms of kapara, it's machap even without tshuva, like the Rambam says, like we've spoken about, is because it's not a carbon. A carbon has a whole shulchan aruch of how it works. This wasn't a carbon. This is just getting the mekatrik to say, I dropped my case. And if he drops his case, then we're good. We have nothing to worry about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish Klai Yisrael if there's no mekatrik. That's what the Chafetz Chaim, when he wrote so much about Lashon Hara, he always said the power of Lashon Hara is, it gives the mekatrik a koich. He says, if there's no mekatrik, you see it on Yom Kippur, if there's no mekatrik, there's no tzaris, you don't have to worry about anything. What gives the mekatrik a koich? So he said Lashon Hara, based on a Zaya, and that's Chafetz Chaim 101. But the point is that's what's going on Yom Kippur. What's going on in Yom Kippur is we're somehow we're neutralizing Sarah Shalaisa, which would then mean that the Sarah Mishtaleach, in short, in one word, in a kutchen phrase, is nishkan carbon. It wasn't a carbon. It was shaychad that was given to Sarah Shalaisa. But the truth is, we've already learned most of the sugyas that deal with the Sarah Mishtaleach, and it's clear that this is an oversimplification of what the Sarah Mishtaleach was. And again, just to introduce this topic a little bit, emphasis on introduced, because this is a topic that's rechavim min hayam, but as it relates to one not such long raid bite, I think it's kedai to understand the Sarah Mishtaleach a little bit better, just as a psicha to tein l'chacham v'yechnamai. And that is, as much as we're saying that the Sarah Mishtaleach wasn't a carbon, five rayas that it's not so pasha. Short. Number one, the Mishnah says in Masechet Shkalim that the Sarah Mishtaleach and the Lashon Shel Zohairis were purchased with the Machzis HaShekel. So how did the Yidden buy the Sarah Mishtaleach or the Lashon Shel Zohairis that was an ancillary to the Sar Mishtaleach? It was purchased by the Machzis HaShekel. Now, the Machzis HaShekel was used to buy Karbonos Sibur. It was meant for Karbonos. Chura, if the Sar Mishtaleach is not a carbon, then how do you have a right to use the Machzis HaShekel to purchase the Sar Mishtaleach? Number two, we learned a sugya together a few days ago where the Gemara discussed the idea of what would happen if somebody would shech the Sar Mishtaleach b'chutz. There's a parish in the Torah, it's in Parshas Achrimos. If somebody shechts a carbon b'chutz, the halacha is al pesach hayom moyed loy heviyoy, and as a result, he's chayiv karas. It's known as the sugyev shchutei chutz, the whole parak in Shas, the 13th parak in Masechet Zvachim, parak ha-shoichet v'ha-mailo, one of the most lamdish prakim in Kachim, that deal with all the sugyas of shchutei chutz. There was a whole sugya of whether or not if someone checks the Sora Mishtalech Pachot, would he be Chai Mishum Shchutechot or not? Now, the Maskonas HaGemara and Daf Samach Gimel Masechtas Yuma was that you would not be Chai. But the reason you're not Chai is because it says Lashem, which is an extra word in the parasha of Shchutechot, and the word Lashem is Lohoitzi, it's Lema'et. As opposed to the Sar Mishtalech. But the mere fact that we're having a conversation of whether or not there should be an Issa Shchutei Chutz by the Sar Mishtalech, or there shouldn't be an Issa Shchutei Chutz by the Sar Mishtalech, screams that it's a carbon. Because if it's not a carbon, then it's dead on arrival. So what's the discussion at all? Sar Mishtalech, if it's not a carbon, has no shaykhis to Shchutei Chutz. Because Shchutei Chutz is a parsha in Karbanos. So why are we even having this conversation? I thought it's a gift that was given to Sarah Shalesa. Was hot this Mishchutei Chutz? The Gemara on Daf Samech Gimel on the base board of Braisa. Also, the word Lashem, but this time not Lohoitzi, Lerabois. That if the Sarah Mishtalech was Mechusir's man, it was less than 8 days old, you couldn't bring it as a Sar Mishtalech. Or if it was a Mechusar's man, because of an Oysoi ve'espenoi lois eshchatu b'yaymechad, you couldn't bring the Sar Mishtalech. The parish of Mechusar's man is a parish in Kachin. It's a parish in Karbonis. A carbon's not allowed to be Mechusar's man. So if a carbon's not allowed to be Mechusar's man, so, and the Sar Mishtalech is not a carbon, so why are we having a whole Amid Gemara, Samech Gimel Amid Beis, Chanan Amitri, Rabina, Rava, a ganze sugi that goes up to Samech Dalar Amid Aleph, that ends with the words, T'chiyosoy L'tzuk Zuhi Shchitah, but why are we even having this Amid Gemara? If it's not a carbon, what does it have to do with Mechusar's man? The Gemara brought a braisa that said if the Sar Mishtalech had a mum, if it had a mum, you couldn't bring it as the Sar Mishtalech. And it's actually learned out from the Pasuk that describes the iser to be makriv a balmum. It says ve'isha lo sitnu mehem, referring to a balmum, ala mizbeach lashem. Lashem l'rabbi sara mishtalech. Sara mishtalech is nesrabe in the parish of karbanos. I thought it's not a carbon. It's shoychet esar shalaisa. What's it doing over here in this pasuk? And then finally, just as a fifth makar to the confusion, and that is we learned the hard sugyas on the topic of confusion of the chamesh chatois amesos. And we had the sugi of Chatish and Eskapu Balel as it relates to if the Sar Lashem died, the Sar Mishtalech died, and the Machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim and Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, maybe the hardest stuff in Masechtas Yuma, Daf Samech. So we had over here this whole discussion about Chatish and Eskapu Balel, Chomish Chatois Amesis. Chomish Chatois Amesis is Halachin Kachin. It's better. It's Halachin Karbonos. It's a din in a carbon Chatos. So if the Sar Lashem is not a carbon, there's only not a carbon chatos, has no shaykhs to the chamesh chatois chameses. So five gemaras that are very intuitively mashma that the Sar HaMishtaleach is a carbon. Number one, machzis hashekel. Number two, shchutei chutz. Number three, you have the psul mechusar's man. Number four, if it's a mum, it's pasul la'krava. Number five, we have the whole sugi of chamesh chatois chameses. If the Sar HaMishtaleach is not a carbon, so what's going on? Ve'umazeh, from the sugis that we've learned, there seem to be mashmois in the opposite direction. Just mentioned two. We had yesterday's daf on daf samach vav. So the Gemara said that the person, Zar, Kayin, that took the Sar HaMishtaleach, he was referred to as an ish-iti. And why do we call him an ish-iti? And the Gemara said a whole bunch of different shatim. One shat is, iti v'afilu b'shabes. The Rash Mishans, in his Pirish on the Teiras Kayanim. So this Gemara is also verbatim a Teiras Kayanim and Parashas Achrimos. So the Rash Mishans in his Teiras Kayanim, he asks the obvious question. He says, I don't understand. He says, you need a pasuk to tell me, ish iti afilu b'shabes, all karbanos sibu v'daych shabes. So if all karbanos sibu v'daych shabes, why do I need a pasuk of iti v'afilu b'shabes? This is Psachim 101. This is Kachim 101. A carbon sibur, or at the very least, a carbon shezmanoi kavua is always doicha Shabbos. So what do I need? Iti vafilu b'Shabbos. Of course, it's doicha Shabbos. Says the Rash Mishans. V'yesh loymar taima detzorech shiluchay riboy mishum delav kotche nizbeyachu. It's not so poshut because this is not kotche nizbeyach. It doesn't say it's not a carbon, but he says it's not kotche nizbeyach, which high level means it's not a carbon. It's not going on the mizbeyach. So all the drushes that you have from Shas and all the different sugyas that a carbon is Daich HaShabbos, very nice a carbon is Daich HaShabbos. What's it have to do with the Sar Mishtalech? Sar Mishtalech was not Kachin Mizbeach. So if it's not Kachin Mizbeach, so therefore I need a pasuk of Iti V'afilu B'Shabbos. So the Rash Mishan seems to be saying it's not a carbon, but Yesh V'yashiv. But this is even sharper. There's a Gemara in Masechta Shavuos, Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis. Very, very big Kiddush. Where the Gemara says that the Sar Mishleich was Mechaper for all Averis not named Tumas Mikdash V'Kadasha. But here's the punchline. The Gemara says, what would be if after the Ish Iti brought a Sar Lazazel, someone would do an Avera? Right, interesting shaila. What happens if someone did an avera between finishing Musaf and Behu Rachum? Right, you could do an avera this time. So what happens if someone did an avera during that time? So the Gemara says an unbelievable chiddush. The Gemara says the Sar Mishtalech was mechaper even for averas that a yid did after he already brought the Sar Mishtalech. So even if a person did an avera afterwards, it's going to be mechaper. And the Rishonim Amatmiya, Frank the Tosfos Harosh. So what do you mean? Where do you find such a thing? That a carbon should be mechaper for an avera that you did after you brought the carbon? Carbon is a mechaper backwards. Where do you find that I can bring a carbon now and then I do an avera in 2 hours from now and I'm going to get kapara for that avera because I just brought the carbon? Says the Tos for Sarash. And I quote, "Ah, forgot to mean a little shein akrabanis mechaper na laverish akrakravasan shani sira mishdalech." And he says two reasons. I'm skipping to the second reason. Vigam sara mishdalech lav carbon havi. It's not a kasha. This is not a carbon. There's a din that a carbon can't be mechaper on an avera that I'm going to do later. But the sar mishdalech is not a carbon. So if it's not a carbon, it has nothing to do with that rule. If it has nothing to do with that rule, it's not going to be a problem. In other words, we have two rayas, l'chura, that it's not really being treated like a carbon. Number one, ishiti v'afilu b'shabbos, why need a pasuk to tell me it's daich ha-shabbos? Karbanos ha-sibur, or karbanos shezmanam kavu are always daich ha-shabbos. So why would I think the sar mishdalech is going to be any different? And then we have l'shoinei azov shal ha-toysviz rosh, that says that this, that the Gemara says, the sar mishdalech was mechab even faberes they did afterwards, that's because it's not a carbon. So it sounds like it's not a carbon. So what's going on over here? Machtes ha-shekel, shchutei chutz, balmum, mechusr zman, chomish chatois ha-mesois. Sounds like it's a carbon. Is Shiti a special pasuk to tell me that it's Doicha Shabbos? It could even be Mechaper Faveris that were done later. It's Mashma that it's not a carbon. So which one is it? Is it a carbon or is it not a carbon? So again, this is a very, very broad discussion. But just one Marimakim that sheds light and it opens up a Pesach can be able to understand the Inyan a little bit. And that is from Maron, Reb Chaim, Halevi, Brisk, who said a very important yisoy in terms of understanding a little bit the Sar Mishdalech. And it really starts, like almost every Reb Chaim does, with the Rambam. So the Rambam in Hilchas Maisei HaKorbanos, Perik Yud Ches, Halacha Yud Aleph, discusses the halacha of Sar Mishdalech and Shchut Teichotz. V'zel v'shoyne. Shnei Seir Yem HaKippurim Sheshachtem B'chotz. The two Seir Yem Kippur that somebody shechts B'chotz. Im Atchalo Yizvada Aleyem. If he shechted it B'chotz before the Vidoy, so the Kohen Gadol was Misvada on the Sar Mishdalech. So if the Sar Mishdalech was shechted B'chotz before the Vidoy, Chayiv Kores Al Shneihem. You're going to be Chayiv Kores for both. Meaning both Seir, the Sar Lashem, and even the other one, the Sar that ultimately is Lazaz, Hayil, the Ru'uyin Lavi, Lefnei Hashem Levidoi, because they're both right to be brought into the Beis HaMikdash. For the Sar Lashem's entire Akrov is going to be in the Beis HaMikdash. And even the Sar Lazazel is going to be in the Beis HaMikdash for the Vidoi. Then Achash is Vadan. If, however, someone shechted the two Seirim after he already did the Vidoi on the Sar HaMishtalech, Potter al HaMishtalech, he'd be Potter for the Mishtalech, Shari Enoi Roi Lavi Lefnei Hashem. So the Rambam says, if someone shechts the Sar Mishdalech b'chutz, are you chayiv or you're not chayiv? So Rambam says it depends. If you shechted it before the vidui, so then the halacha is you're going to be chayiv. If you shechted it after the vidui, the halacha is that you're going to be potter. What's the hesber? Poshet the hesber is, and it's very mashman that way from the words of the Rambam. Before the vidui, it's roi lovei al pesach ayomai, because you have to bring it into the ayomai, it's for the vidui. After the vidui, it's no longer roi lovei al pesach ayomai, because it's not necessary to bring it into the ayomai anymore. Once you did the vidui, now you're sending it to the midbar. So it's not roi lovei al pesach ayomai, it's you're going to be potter. And that's based on what we spoke about earlier in the week, that the ikur of shchutei chutz is all about, is it roi lovei al pesach ayomai, or is it not roi lovei al pesach? Like the Torah says, yichayv karis, because al pesach ayomai, lo yevioi. So before the vidui, it was roi lovei al pesach ayomai, you're going to be chayv. After the vidui, you're going to be potter, because it's not roi lovei al pesach ayomai. Now this Rambam has a long rivet attached to it. And the reason there's a rivet, just based on even the Gemaras that we learned, Daf Yomi, we can understand. This is Rambam's carried from the Gemara we learned. We learned the Gemara, where the Gemara said clearly that there's no Shchutei Chutz by the Sar Mishtalech. The Gemara brought a Brice and it says, L'Hashem, L'Hoitzias HaSar Mishtalech. The Rambam all of a sudden says, no, not so fast. Is it before Vidui or is it after the Vidui? So the Teretz is, there's another Gemara, a parallel Sugya. It's in Mesech Tzvachim Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amadeus. There the Gemara seems to make a distinction between Yeh Vidui, No Vidui. And the Rambam was passing like the Gemara Mesech Tzvachim versus the Gemara Mesech Tzyuma. This is beyond the scope of what we're doing. But the point is there's a Shitas HaRambam. This is all we need. We just need the punchline. The interstitial. There's a Shitas HaRambam, where the Rambam says, if somebody would shech the Sar La'azaz al-Bachotz, would he be chayef for Shchut Eichotz or not? Says the Rambam, it depends. Before Vidui be chayef for Shchut Eichotz, after Vidui he would be part of Shchut Eichotz. So Reb Chaim HaLevi said, now what's the Hezber in the Rambam? Posh it. It's Roy Lovey HaPasachoy Moir. It's not Roy Lovey HaPasachoy Moir. I hear. Reb Chaim said it's deeper. You know what's going on here? The Sarah Mishtaleach, Mitzad Echad, you find was a carbon. Mitzad Sheni, you find that it wasn't a carbon. So which one was it? Was it a carbon or was it not a carbon? So Reb Chaim said, that's the Rambam. Far the Vidui, it's a carbon. Noch the Vidui, it's not a carbon. And that's the oimik in Kavanas HaRambam. If somebody would shech the Sar Mishtaleach before the Vidui, he'd be chayef. You know why? Because it's a carbon. And if you shech the carbon, Bachutz, you'd be chayef. La'acha Vidui, it's not a carbon anymore. And being that it's not a carbon anymore, at that time you're going to be potter. Before the Vidui, it's a carbon. After the Vidui, it's not a carbon. Reb Chaim said, with this you could understand a Gemara that we went through very quickly in yesterday's daf. The Gemara said that ish iti, ish lahachshir es hazar. This is one line, says the Gemara Pshita. Of course hazar is allowed to do it. Why would you think that hazar is not allowed to do it? So the Gemara, ma'u detem a kapara ksiva be'na. I would have thought it's a kapara. Kamash malan, that it can even be done by hazar. So Reb Chaim said, what was the shakla v'tarya? I would have thought it's a kapara. Kamash malan, no worries. The oimik in the Gemara, the Havon in the Gemara, said Reb Chaim, is that the Sar Mishtaleach is a kapar. And it's not just a kapar, it's a carbon. And if it's a carbon, it needs kahuna. And if it's a carbon on Yom Kippur, it needs kahuna gedoyla. And based on that, there was a Havamina that for sure, being that the Sar Mishtaleach is a carbon, it should need to be done by the Kohen Gadol. Kamash Malon ish lahachshir es hazar, that it's true it's a carbon, but it's only a carbon up until the Vidui. And the Vidui was taken done by the Kohen Gadol, because that's part of the avoida in the carbon. But as soon as the Vidui is done, la'achar avidui, it transforms from being a carbon, it's not a carbon anymore. So if it's not a carbon, so this is an avoida being done, not in a carbon, there's no halacha that it can't be done by a Kohen. And that's ish lahachshir es hazar. The Havamina is true even in the Maskana. Of course it's kapara. And because it's kapara, you would think it should require kuna and even kuna gedayla. But being that the kapara expires and only goes up until that point, so it's for that reason, iti or ish iti lahachshir es hazar, anything that happens after the Vidui can be done even by hazar. So mitzad echad, the Sar Mishtaleach was a carbon, because up until the Shas Vidui was a carbon. That's why it was purchased using the Machzis HaShekel, and that's why there's an Issa Shchutei Chutz, like the Rambam says it clearly, up until the Vidui, and that's why if it's a Baal Mum, it's possible, because anything that you're doing up until the Vidui, Za'ad Bechlal, is all part of Avoidus HaKarbon. So you can't do Avoidus HaKarbon if it's a Baal Mum. And that's why there's Alocha Mechus Hazman, and that's why there's a Sugi of the Chamish Chatois HaMesis, because it's a carbon, and it's a carbon Chatos, Chatos Kariyei Rachmano, the Torah calls it a Chatos. So based on that, it's pasha. You have all the dinim of carbon. But mitzad sheni, when the ish iti is taking it la'azazel, so then already it's not a carbon, because that's already la'ach havidoy. So over there would have been a havamina that maybe it should be not be doiche Shabbos. That's why I need iti afilu b'Shabbos, because at that point it's not carbon anymore. Because as soon as the Kohen Gadol was mezvada, so now it suddenly it switches gears, and now it's not a carbon. It's not a carbon. So you would have thought that it's okay. Maybe it's not okay to do it on Shabbos. That's iti l'rabbis, that it could be done on Afilu b'Shabbos, and that's why there would have been a havamina, being that there's a hakrova that's happening even at the time that it's not a carbon. So therefore, it could be mechaper. Therefore, it could be mechaper even for averus that were done afterwards, like the Rosh says, because the kapara, once the Vidui is done, there's still kapara happening, and once the Vidui is done, at that point, it's not a carbon anymore. So therefore, so the bottom line is the Sarah Mishtaleach mitzad echad is a carbon. Mitzad sheni, it's not a carbon. On the tzad carbon, it's a sar lashem, just like the sar lashem was. On the tzad that it's not a carbon, what is it? It's a akrova l'sar yishalesam, which is fascinating, Because if you think about it, you just follow the train of thought. Put this Reb Chaim together with the Ramban al HaTorah and the Ben Ezra and the Pirkei de Reb Eliezer. This gift that we give Sari Shel Esav on Yom Kippur isn't just a gift. We're actually giving him a carbon Lashem. We're taking a carbon that was given to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a vidoy, with all the dinim of Kachem as they relate. And that is the matana that was given to Sari Shel Esav. But either way, that's the first ta'ara. We're going to cut this read bite a little bit short. The second ta'ara is that the Gemara mentioned in yesterday's daf that when the Ish Iti took the Sara Mishtaleach from the Beis HaMikdash and he started walking it to the Midbar, it says that the Kedesh Asula, they made a ramp for him. This ramp was a very high platform and it was made for the protection of the Ish Iti. And the reason he needed protection was Mipnei HaBavliim, because of the Babylonians. Shei Metal Shem Besairei, because they were pulling his hair or his payas or the goat's hair. For Eimer Lein, they were telling this Ish Iti, Nu, Tul Vetzei, Gei Schneller, you're not going fast enough, says the Gemara. Tano, why were they telling him to go so fast? In Aramaic, Mashohit Sofiro Dein, V'choivi Doros Agiyin. What's this goat still doing here? Oh, it's carrying all the Averis, and we have so many Averis, we don't want these Averis anymore. So take it away already. The Gemara said that these people weren't really Babylonians. Ela Alexandrian, they were Alexandrian, they weren't from Iraq. They were from Egypt. So why did the Mishnah refer to them as Bavliim? Because the Yidden in Yerushalayim hated the Babylonians. That's pretty sharp. So they referred to them as, meaning they saw someone did something bad. He's a Bavli. So the Gemara continues and said, Rabbi Yehuda said the same thing. And when Rabbi Yossi heard this, he said, Oh, Shkoyach, Rabbi Yehuda, Tanuach Daita, Zol Zayn Gebench, and Gezinten Shtar, Kwai, Sheinachtes Daiti, because you make me feel a lot better. I always thought these were Bavliim. And I always said, these are my Zaydis. I was embarrassed from my Yichas. But now that I know they were Alexandrians, that somebody else's Yichas, it's not mine. And as a result, he says, Shkoyach, Tanuach Daitcha, Sheinachtes Daiti. It's pretty clear. It's pretty clear from the Gemara that what the Bavliim did was not nice. It was very, very not nice. So much so, it wasn't even Bavliim, it was Alexandrian, but the Mishnah attributed it to people that they hated because it was such a not nice thing. Let's just say someone we don't like did it, it's just going to make them look bad. Ke'ilu. And Rabbi Yossi, when he heard that it wasn't his Zaydis that were engaged in this, so Rabbi Yossi says, Shkoyach, Tanuach Daitcha, Sheinach Des Daiti. Why? Because at the end of the day, what they did was not nice. But the question is what was so terrible about it? At the end of the day, what were they doing? They said, Tol vetzei, Mashoyit Sfira Dein v'chayvi daras agin. Just get rid of it, we don't want that virus anymore. So yeah, it's maybe not the nicest, most edel way to do it. But at the end of the day, where was it coming from? It was coming from a place of Kedusha. It was coming from a place of Tahir. They didn't want that virus. So mean that they didn't want that virus. So why do we actually see it as being so terrible? So I heard from Reb Eli Hertzke Shlita. He showed me a beautiful, beautiful Maramachim. And it's in the Sefer Eish Kodesh. It's from Reb Kleinemus Kalman, the Admiral of Mipia Setzna. And this was a drashna that he gave during the war in the ghetto. It was Yoim Beis de Sukkis. It was Tavshin Al. And it's Dvarim Nifloim Adlomai. He said as follows. He said that if you want to understand why Chazal had such a problem with what the Bavliim did or what the Alexandrian did, he says, take a look at the next line, the first line in today's daf. The Mishnah says, Miyakira Yerushalayim, Hayim Melavin Oysa Yatsukah Harishayna. And they were people that were stationed by all the sukkahs and they would say, Harimayim and Harimazin. He said, it could be what the Alexandrian did wasn't so gefährlich. It's true, wasn't so gefährlich. But look at the contrast. You had two groups of people. One group of people is ripping the guy's hair out and he's telling him, no, go already, what's taking you so long? And then you had another group of Yidden that were being mechazik him, and they're being malava him, and they say, take a little, it's Yom Kippur, but eat something, and maybe you need it, you look schwach. So listen to what he said. It's poshit, said Reb Kleinem is coming, that these Alexandrian, these Bavliim were heilige Yidden, and they had in mind, kulay l'shem shamayim, but they were thinking about themselves. And they were thinking about their own Averis. And this poor Ish Iti, who's on this mission, where he's not even going to survive the year. Iti, he's not making it out alive. And he's going to take this mountain. But they looked at him, you're working for me. Your job is to make sure we get rid of our Averis. And why aren't you walking faster? The Yakira Yerushalayim, they understood that too. They also didn't want their Averis. But their sensitivity, their hergish, wasn't what's with my Averis. The hergish was, look at this Yid.
There's this poor yid who's walking and this is what he's doing. Let's be mechazikim. And who's he doing it for? He's doing it for us. He's doing it for us. So what, we're going to send him out? Mamish on a suicide mission. Let's be malave him a little bit. Let's offer him some food. So he said, Avad in a vacuum, nishkeferlach. Mitoichsha soinim es abavliim. He says, but when you deher the contrast, that was the Lushan. Kad chazino nech anche Yerushalayim isnagu. Ney daloma masi alexandrin hori rabbeinei. When you look at the contrast, that's when you can deher. So what does this have to do with the ghetto and Tovshin Aleph? This is mamish at the height of the Holocaust. So listen to what Kleinemus Kalman said. This drushna that he gave was on the first yard site of his son. He lost his son during the war. And the first yard site was Yoim Beis the Sukkot Tovshin Aleph. By yard site harishoyne shal bnei harav achosid v'hakodesh zeichet tzadik v'kodesh l'bracha. This is how he starts it. So he was talking about the Akedah. So he said a Dovin Meira, something that I believe I heard once, b'shem the Ramami Pano. And that is that when Avram Avinu took Yitzchak and he wanted to be makriv him on the Akedah, so the Malach came and he said, al tishach yotcha lanar v'ataslema umaka ati yadat yirei le'kemata. So he had a hold back. So the Svarim HaKdoshim say that Avram Avinu did the Akedah b'machshava. He wanted to do it. Machshava toiva HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzar fel ha'maisa. Avram Avinu was ready to shecht Yitzchak, but he didn't do it b'maisa. Because ultimately, the Baskel said, al tishlach yotcha lanar, v'al taslay ma'uma. So the Akedah happened b'machshava, but it never happened b'maisa. So said Rav Kleinemus Kalman mipias etzna, that there was something missing in the Akedah. The Maisa was missing. So he said, b'meshach ha'doris, every single time a Yid was killed by Kiddush Hashem, and very often he wasn't even given a choice, they were just thrown into gas chambers, and they were killed. They were mekadesh shem shemayim. They gave up their life b'maisa, or b'li machshava maybe, because could be they didn't even have a chance. That was the tashlumen of the Akedah. And tzizamen, with the machshava of Avram and Yitzchak, and the maisa of all the Yidden that died al kiddush Hashem b'meshach ha'doris, we have the schus of the Akedah. See, he said, the pasuk says, achar advarim o'ele, for alekim nisa es Avram. See, he said, achar advarim o'ele, after Parshas Vayera, years later, hundreds of years later, thousands of years later, for alekim nisa es Avram, the schus of the Akedah constantly plays itself out. Because every single time a Yid gives up his life, al kiddush Hashem, afilu shaloi b'machshava, that's the chelik ha-maisa, that's mashlim, the chelik ha-machshava of Avram and Yitzchak, and together we have the schus of the Akedah, that's achra advar mo'el, after, well after everything. In the 20th century of the common era, there was velikim nisa Avram, because every Yid that gave up his life was being mashlim a chelik of the Akedah. So Rav Kleinemus Kam was being mechazik the Yidin, and they understood where this was all going to end. And he told them, he says, you have to understand my entire Yidin. He said, every single Yid that's going to give up his life is going to give up his life, al kiddush Hashem. It's going to be a tashlumin for the Akedah. Realize you're a building block of the schus of the Akedah. But here's the punchline. This is what had to do with this vart here in the two Mishnayos and Masechtas Yuma. He said, so what should you be thinking now? What should you be thinking? So imagine, what should a Yid be thinking? Imagine he's about to give up his life, al kiddush Hashem. He's going to offer himself up in the schus HaKedah. What would he think? I'm an oile tamima. This is like not shaykh. Stop thinking about the machshavas of the tutusha of the hira. So Koinem is common piyasetz that told the chsidim. He said that Akedah's digress to schus Klai Yisrael's head b'meshach ha'doiris. On Rosh Hashanah we blow shofar to remember the schus of the Akedah. There's no schus the Yidden have had throughout the generations more than the schus of the Akedah. So he said, you know what you should be thinking right now? Be thinking, what a schus you have to be able to mezaki Yidden. That is going to be Yidden throughout the generations that are yoinik from the schus of the Akedah, and you're part of the schus of the Akedah. It's unbelievable. This is the tachlis of not making it about me, but making it about Klal Yisrael. And this is what he told the Yidden. He said, we are in a very dire situation, and who knows how this is going to end? Listen, that if Chalila doesn't end, right, we're all part of the Akedah, which means our life and our death is going to be schusim for the future of Klal Yisrael. That's what you should be thinking. Ashreinu matoiv chalkeinu, that we have the opportunity to play such a role and be mezakeh Sarabim, be mezakeh Klal Yisrael. And that's what he told them. Uke'ein zeh. He said, these were the two people. You had the Alexandrian. They were thinking at this time in the Yom HaKadosh, where everything is there, this is the Rabbi, the Rabbin. Tuv v'tzeh, I don't want the Averis anymore. It's a Ruach Kedusha what they had. Oh, but Lamais, it's not the Spitz. It's not really the Madrega. The Madrega is the Yakirei Yerushalayim, that Dafka at this time, you're thinking about Yenim. He says, Ke'en Zen, not much the same word, but it's Ke'en Zen, that's what they wanted to be Malav. And this is what he told the Yidden. He says, at this time, right now, we're about to, literally, about to give ourselves up on the Akeda. This is a Tashlumin. This is the Chelik HaMaisa that Avraham Yitzchak didn't play out in Parshas Vayera. You know what a Yid should be thinking? Don't even be thinking about the Oila Tamima and the Egan and Kedusha. That's not what you should be thinking. You should be thinking, Ashreinu Matoiv Chalkeinu, that we have a schus to be part of such a gewaldige Zikui Harabin because of all the issues that Yidden could possibly have in future generations because of what we're doing right now.